Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We're very happy to have you. We have some visitors. We're glad that you're here, too, and that we could come together and sing these songs. And John, even though you said you had a frog, it was a pretty good-sounding frog. It really was. You did a good job. Good song. I would remind you that we have a new website here, and we have the information on the bulletin board at the back, but also there's some cards out in the foyer if you'll take one of those. I think you're going to like what you see. We're able to now put the sermons that we preach on the website. If you look to the part that says sermons, you're able to listen to them. And we have a section in there called Lessons in Living, which would be a daily thing that you can look at for the month. We'll be adding those things. Tommy's doing all that. He's putting all that in there. And you ought to be thankful unto him because he's done. It takes a little work to do that. Well, actually, it takes a lot of work to do that. But he's done that. And I checked it this last week, and it's on there. Our Sunday night PowerPoints are on there, and our Sunday morning lessons on there. And you can listen to all of that. He's doing a great job, and I appreciate it very much. This is something, folks, that if you'll tell people in the community, we might be able to reach some of the people in the community because now they can see what we're doing. It's not just the time of our services on there, although that's there. But a lot of other good things are on there and be worth looking at from time to time and telling them. We also are going to have the ability to stream. We're not doing that yet. That'll be in the future. But we'll have the ability to do that and video what's taking place. And maybe that'll come a little bit later when we add some things to it. But it's really up and running, and I think you'll like what you see. And the person that did that for us, one of the members of the church at Park Hill, did that for us, and she actually donated most of that. And the reason it looks so good is because she did that. We didn't really have to pay for it, did we, Tommy? But she really did a good job for that. It would cost us a lot of money to do what she did, but she does that for a living, and we appreciate what she did, too, also. In Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and in verse 6, Solomon asked a question. He said, who can find a faithful man or a faithful person? Well, I think that question is one that needs to be answered from time to time, especially in the spiritual realm. It'd be true in the physical realm, too. Can you find somebody you can trust? Like if you call somebody to fix your washing machine, or maybe your refrigerator, or somebody to fix your car, you want somebody that's faithful. And actually, the word faithful in Greek simply means trustworthy. And it means that in the Septuagint also, or in the Hebrew. It means trustworthy. Who can find somebody that you can really trust? Can God find people he can trust? We all have probably experienced in life calling somebody to fix something and they didn't do it. They didn't do it right, or they didn't know how to do it. And we said, we're not going to use them anymore because they're really not trustworthy. It may have cost us a lot of money, but we still have the same problem because maybe they didn't have the knowledge to be able to do it. But in the spiritual realm, it ought to be that when God asks the question, who can find a faithful person, that person should be able to be found. There are certain traits, though, that one must have if he's going to be trustworthy. And I'm talking about both men and women now. There are certain traits in the spiritual realm that they must have. They must have genuine faith. They must truly, really believe. Sometimes people will acknowledge mentally the concept of God and the concept of some of the things he teaches, but their faith is not strong enough to cause them to do anything with that concept. They might even be able to quote passages of Scripture, but putting those passages of Scripture into action, sometimes they're not able to do or will not do, and therefore their faith is really not genuine. James talked about that. He talked about a faith that is dead because it does not work in James, the second chapter. Genuine faith is what one has to have if he's going to answer the question, well, I'm the one that can be found. Solomon said, who can find a faithful man or a faithful person? Well, I'm the one that can be found because I believe. And I believe like perhaps Abraham in the Old Testament or perhaps like Paul did. Or perhaps like Peter did, or John, or other characters that we read about, or individuals we read about, that showed their faith in God. In Galatians 3 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham as an example to the Galatians about the kind of faith they ought to have. He said, those who are of faith are blessed. Why? With believing in Abraham. And that's true. With believing what Abraham said, that the Lord would give him a great nation. And the Lord did that. And the Lord kept His promises to Abraham. And if we believe like Abraham, then we can be blessed too. That's the point that's being made here. So who can find a faithful man or person? Well, you can if you have genuine faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the apostle said it like this, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him, for he that cometh to God must believe in Him, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. Notice that the faith there, without faith it's impossible, but the faith that is possible is the one that diligently seeks after Him. In other words, the faith does something. We talked about that in some detail. Last Sunday night we talked about faith. But a genuine faith is what a faithful man has. He has real faith. Remember the statement that was made by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. I recall the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your mother, your grandmother and your mother. A genuine faith, a real faith. You can be trusted, Timothy, because you have this kind of faith. And that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So an individual who is a faithful person before God, who can find a faithful man? Well, I'll tell you one. You can find one that has genuine faith. But not only does that person who has genuine faith practice that faith, but he also shows respect and reverence for the one that he ought to show reverence. We read an example of that in Hananiah. Hananiah in Nehemiah, the 7th chapter, verse 2, he was the leader of the citadel, the scripture says. He was a faithful man, and what did he do? He feared God more than many. He feared God. Well, isn't that what the Old Testament says, that one who is faithful ought to do? One who's trustworthy ought to fear God and keep His commandments? For this is the whole, or one translation says, the whole duty of man. Isn't that what Solomon said? That the one who fears God will keep His commandment, and this will be the whole of his being? That's the faithful person. In Ecclesiastes 12, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter, he said. The conclusion of everything is to fear God. The conclusion of everything is to be faithful before God. Keep His commandment. The whole thing is the whole being of man should be that way. In Hebrews 12 and verse 28, the Hebrew writer said, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We need to serve God with reverence and godly fear. Who is the faithful man? When Solomon asked that question in Proverbs 30 and verse 20 and verse 6, Solomon is saying, who shows reverence to God? Well, you remember the prophet of old and Jesus Christ said, holy and reverend is His name. We show reverence unto God. We show honor and respect and obeisance to Almighty God. That's the faithful person. That's the one you can trust because he has reverence for what's right. He has reverence for the right person. He has an understanding of what it means to fear God. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to fear God and do the things that God would have him do. And he does that which is acceptable unto God. Well, not only that, he's going to have wisdom. Not only is the faithful man or person one of genuine faith and reverence and respect, but he has wisdom. He has the wisdom of God to do the things God would have him do. Jesus said to his disciples, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Well, that's the person who is the disciple of the Lord. He's going to be wise, but he's also going to be harmless. He's going to be wise because his wisdom comes from God. Wasn't that what James said? Wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, full of all entreaty.
And it's not the wisdom that is devilish, you said. It's not the wisdom of the world, but it's the wisdom of God. That's the reason that one who is a child of God, in order to be faithful, has to have some wisdom. But where does he get it? Well, he gets it from above. And how does he get that? He studies. He gives diligence to present himself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He's able to handle right the word of truth. And that's what Timothy was able to do, because till Paul came to him, he was told to read, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. And so that's what he did. But this wisdom causes one who is faithful to prompt obedience. What God commands, this person who has the wisdom of God is willing to obey. And he understands what God that God's commands are those for us to obey. And therefore he does. A good example of that is the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter. They came to a certain water. That is, as they were traveling along, and Philip was with him. And Philip had been entered into the chariot that the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling in, and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "How can I except some man shall guide me?" And so Philip entered into the chariot and began to preach unto him Jesus from the same scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, which we call today Isaiah 53. And as they traveled on their way, Philip preached unto him Jesus, all that was involved in preaching Jesus, which would have included the fact that Jesus came to this earth, that he emptied himself, that he became a man, that he lived as a man, but he died on the cross for our sins, that he was God in the flesh. And an individual, if he came to Jesus Christ, he could have his sins washed away by his blood. He taught him all of those kind of things, obviously, because when they came to a certain water, the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So Philip must have told him, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," as Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16. And so the Ethiopian eunuch asked, "What could keep me from doing that?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And you said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And so they both went down into the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he baptized him. So an example of a person that's trustworthy. Philip was trustworthy, that is. The eunuch said, "I don't understand." So he got into the chariot, and he wasn't like that person I said a while ago that might come to your house to fix something. He doesn't have any knowledge, can't fix it. It doesn't take you very long to realize he has no knowledge, does it? But you realize when he starts working, well, this person really knows what he's doing. He takes it all apart. He takes this part out that's not working, puts another part in there, puts it all back together. You push the button, it works. See, it works. Well, he knew that Philip must know the scriptures, because Philip began to preach to him. He knew Isaiah 53, although it wasn't called that then. But he knew Isaiah 53, and he began at that same scripture. And as he went through that scripture, as it talks about Christ and his sacrifice, he presented to him Jesus Christ. And so the Ethiopian, but knowing that he had a trustworthy person or a faithful person there, asked him what he needed to do. And evidently he was told, and they came to a certain water, and he asked the question, "What must I do?" And the faithful man told him the answer. That you can be baptized if you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. So we have an example then of a person who had wisdom and respect and reverence and had genuine faith and was willing to do what God would have him to do. And that's the Ethiopian eunuch. And you can read that in Acts the 8th chapter. Acts the 8th chapter. But also, when we look at these kind of things, we know that a person, when he serves the Lord, he's not hesitant to obey God's instructions. He wants to do that. That's a faithful person. God can depend upon him. The question in Proverbs 20, verse 6, who can find a faithful man? Well, they can be found if they listen to God and obey his commandments. So the answer to the stuff is this person over here, or this person over here, or that one over there. Out of all of these people, these are the people that I consider to be faithful because they've kept my word. What was it Jesus said? Be faithful till you die. So he knows who's faithful and who isn't. He knows who he can trust and who he can't. He knows whether he can trust James Lusby or he can trust you. And he said to James, if you'll be faithful till you die, I'll give you the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. So the question is, who can find a faithful man? I'll tell you who can. God can. Christ can. He can determine whether or not we're following the instructions that are given to us by Almighty God. We looked at a passage in Galatians 3 and verse 9 about those who were faithful, those who had genuine faith, that they believed like Abraham did. Well, what did Abraham do? In Hebrews the 11th chapter, verses 17 through 19, we're told, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So by faith he did what God told him to do. God told him to go out and offer his son Isaac as an offering, as a sacrifice. And he was willing to do that by faith. God could trust Abraham to do what he told him to do. Now God stayed his hand. He was not able. He did not kill Isaac. He didn't offer him a sacrifice. God provided an animal for that later on. But the proof of the faith of Abraham was what God told him to do, that's what he did. Who can find a faithful man? God said Abraham is. By faith. And the Hebrew writer uses that in that hall of faith passage in Hebrews the 11th chapter. He talks about the faith of different ones. The faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is an evidence of things not seen. That's what he talks about in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Then he talks about different people who had faith, and Abraham was one of those people. God said, Abraham, you go. Abraham didn't offer any excuses, did he? God said, Abraham, go, and that's exactly what Abraham did. That's faith, folks. That's genuine faith that we've talked about last Sunday night. That's the kind of faith that has reverence and respect for Almighty God. That's the kind of faith that follows the wisdom of God, knowing, well, if necessary, God will raise him up. He's promised me that through him, all the families of the earth shall be blessed, and I'm about to kill him, and if necessary, God will raise him up, so I'm going to do what God tells me to do. That's paraphrasing how Abraham thought. But Abraham was willing to offer his son promptly because he wanted to obey God. Who can find a man of faith? Well, God found one. He found Abraham. But also a man of faith or a person of faith is one who prays. He's a prayerful person. You can see the kind of life that a trustworthy person has before Almighty God. Who can God find who is a person of faith? Well, the one who prays to him, as well as all the other things we were talking about. Daniel is a good example of that. In Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 10, we're told that Daniel, when he went home, he went to his upper room. Picture this. Here's where he lived. Here's an upper room and has a window in it. And he goes to the window, opens the window, and there he is praying to God. And everybody down there can see it. He wasn't afraid to pray to God in public. He wasn't afraid for everybody to see, I'm a child of God. He was a trustworthy. God could depend on Daniel to show people what kind of a person he was, and that's exactly what he did. In his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, the scripture said. He knelt down on his knees 3 times a day. So he didn't just do it one time and hope that nobody was out. He didn't get up about 4 o'clock in the morning and there wouldn't have been very many people there. He said, well, I'll pray to the Lord now. Nobody's going to see me. And I'm going to do what the Lord says. I'm going to pray, but I don't want anybody to see me. But he did it 3 times a day. So let's just suggest maybe it was the morning and at lunch and in the evening. And there were lots of people there that saw that. And I know that because they reported it to the king, didn't they? And he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So Daniel continued to do what he knew was right before Almighty God. Daniel was a prayerful man, and it didn't make any difference whether he was going to get thrown into the lion's den or not, which he was, of course. But he was a prayerful person. Can the Lord find a faithful man or person? That's the question. Well, yes, you can, Lord. Look at Daniel. Look at Abraham. Look at Hananiah. Look at Moses. All of these people were faithful to the Lord. In Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 1, Jesus Christ was the one speaking to his disciples, and he said, as he spoke this parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart or not faint. Always pray. That's what the faithful man does. That's what the one of genuine faith does. Can the Lord find a faithful man? Yes, the one that's always praying. And he does it all the time. And he does it with respect. And he never loses heart. He always prays to the Lord. When I was growing up, there were some preachers that taught that when you're in the restaurant or somewhere, you ought not to pray. I never did understand it then. I sure don't understand it now. But that was the concept, because you're showing off. Well, was Daniel showing off? No, it was his custom to pray to the Lord, and he prayed all the time, and he did it whether there was anybody standing out that window looking or not. He wasn't so concerned about whether the people saw it. What he was concerned about was whether or not he was showing respect to God. And that's what we ought to think about. And giving God thanks for the blessings, that which we're about to receive. Daniel was prayerful. But I'll tell you another trait of a faithful man or woman is that they tell the truth. They're truthful in what they do. That's what they do. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 5, the wise man said, a faithful witness does not lie. You see, a trustworthy witness does not lie. On the witness stand, you want somebody who's going to tell the truth. If somebody has accused you of something, you want faithful witnesses that know your character, and they'll say, that couldn't be so. I've known that person a long time. You don't want somebody that's never known you to judge you. You want somebody who knows something about you. And even before the courts of the land, they present witnesses. Witnesses that they hope will tell the truth. And sometimes when people are charged falsely, the reason that they're acquitted is because the witnesses have shown the jury that what they were accused of could not be so. They never were guilty of that. And this witness knows that. So a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. That's what Solomon said. The person that has real faith, a faithful man who can find, is the one who will tell the truth. Once in a while, you'll maybe see a lesson or see a program on television. And then if someone's done something they ought not to do, and they go to their best friend and say, would you tell them I was with you when all this happened? And the friend says, I cannot lie. I remember when I was teaching school a number of years ago, I was in the English room and had a young lady come to me. She had graduated from high school already. She was already going to college. She wanted to be a cheerleader in college, but when she was in high school, she wouldn't do the work, and finally, they removed her from being a cheerleader in high school. And she said, Mr. Lesbo, would you write me a recommendation? I said, Lisa, and that was her name. I said, Lisa, I'll be glad to write you a recommendation, but I'm going to tell the truth. Are you sure you want me to write you one? She said, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. A faithful person is who is truthful. You can count on them to tell the truth. And sometimes truth hurts. But a faithful person tells the truth. That's the kind of person he is. And that's the person who will abound in the blessings of God. Why is it necessary for us to be faithful? Well, Jesus said, you want to go to heaven? Be faithful till you die. And I'll give you the crown of life. That's the blessing, folks. A faithful man who can find, Solomon asked. Well, I'll tell you who you can find. The one who is faithful till he dies. You can trust him, Lord. He said he would commit his soul to well-doing to you, and he's done that, or she has done that, all the days of their life. And so Jesus said, well, I could trust you. You lived a long life or a short life or a medium life, whatever it was, but all the time you lived, you served me, and I want you to know, come, you blessed of my inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to give you the crown of life. So why is it necessary to be trustworthy? Because if you want the blessings of God, you're going to have to be. And I'm going to have to be. In Proverbs 28 and verse 20, the wise man said, a faithful man will abound with blessings. That word abound in the Hebrew there means to be bubbling over, having more than enough. There's just so many blessings, they're just bubbling over. They're just all out there. What greater blessing could one have than to go to heaven someday? Not just walk on a street of gold, but never cry again. Never feel pain again. You know, as you get older sometimes, you get up and that hip bothers me a little bit. Or the arm bothers you a little bit, doesn't it? And the cold weather affects you some, and when the trees are putting out that wonderful green stuff they put out in the spring, and you start and all that. None of that will happen in heaven. If there are trees up there, they won't put anything bad out. And when it rains, you won't have to worry about one of the weathermen saying, look, you need to take cover, like they were saying yesterday in some parts of Fort Smith. Take cover right now. Because there's a swirling thing coming out there and it can kill you. That won't happen in heaven, folks. If it rains, and I'm not saying it will, but if it rains, it'll just be a nice rain. Won't be any lightning strikes. Won't be any 70 or 80 mile an hour winds. None of that. Be faithful till you die and I'll take you to heaven, is what the Lord basically said. I'll give you the crown of life. Those are the blessings, folks, of somebody who has faith. A faithful person who can find. Well, the Lord can find them. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, Paul said, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Sometimes we may not think of ourselves as stewards, but I'll tell you what, this world we live in, we are stewards of it to take care of it. This is where we live. God gave it to us. It started way back there in the Garden of Eden when God gave the pair in the Garden of Eden everything in the tree, to dress the tree, just to take care of it, and they could eat everything except one thing. It is required of those who are stewards. I've given you this, take care of it. I've given you your body, take care of it. I've given you a soul, take care of that. Don't just think about having everything in this life. Or if you lose your life, what profit is there in that? What would a man give in exchange for his life or his soul? So take care of your soul. Commit your soul. You are a steward of your soul, folks. You're a steward of your life. We're stewards of our planet. And if we do all of that, we are good stewards. If God can trust us to be good stewards, He'll give us the crown of life. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thought to receive? Think about that one can have the crown of life if he's a good steward. A faithful man who can find. Well, I'll tell you what. When God looks down upon us, or Jesus Christ comes with his angels in the flame of fire, we can rest with him. And who is the we that can rest with him? Those that are faithful. And it should be every one of us in this audience, right? We can be found faithful. We can go to heaven when we die. But it's up to us if we're going to be good stewards of our soul. And the faithful person is a good steward. Number 213 in your book. John, we didn't collaborate on this, but this is a really good song for what I've been talking about. We are but straying pilgrims, are we not? Here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey still we sing the wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all of our longing eyes. You think about that. When you step on heaven's shore, you think you'll be frowning or you think you might be smiling? You think about that. I hope that we're all going to be smiling, but it only comes if we're obedient to God, what He tells us to do. Jesus told His apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. What is it? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Will you do that this morning so you can be saved? And then will you remain faithful till you die so Jesus can give you the crown of life? Can I help you at least to start on your journey? As together we stand.